Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cinema Wave Podcast. Today, we will be covering episodes 6 and 7 of Amazon Prime's hit show, The Boys. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Mikey Peniston. I'm joined by my co-host, Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
And yes, we're going to get right into it. We're going to start going. We've been covering The Boys now for a couple weeks now. Darian, we don't have Darian today, unfortunately. We love him. Yes, send him love. Yes, we're going to jump right into it. Off the rip, Vinny, episode 6 was, this is 2 episodes, by the way, so it's going to be a lot to sort of cover, maybe just breeze through, you know, we can kind of just cover more of like the main sort of topics of certain things, but off the rip, how do you feel about, let's start with episode 6, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, so I think we both agree that there's not much to talk about with episode 6.
Yes.
I think, you know, despite the amount of acclaim that I've been seeing, I've seen a lot of people say this is one of the funniest episodes, which, you know, it is funny. But the more and more I think about this episode, the more and more I dislike it. I just think that after a little bit, the joke goes on for way too long and the points that needed to be impactful kind of lay flat. Like, we have MM has a panic attack, we have A-Train saving someone for like the first time and actually having, I believe that was his nephew, that young boy, who saw him do a heroic act for the first time out of complete selflessness. And those moments really should be so powerful, and on paper they really are, but this whole like Tech Knight weird sex dungeon joke goes on for too long to the point where it just overshadows all that needed to be impactful.
Yes, definitely. I 100% agree. And we spoke about this a little bit previously to starting, but it was just a weird episode. This season, they've taken a lot of bold moves, I'd say, as far as the comedic side of things. Not to say that The Boys has ever been that far off from stuff like that, but like, it was just a weird, like you said, I agree. It was, a lot wasn't needed. And there were a lot of, like, I agree as well. There were a lot of kind of important kind of storylines to a lot of these characters, you know, that were just kind of like tucked in there. Like that A-Train moment was huge, especially coming off of the certain events of episode 7. So I don't know. I just feel like that. And then like, even like the moment with Sister Sage, like having that whole panic attack with MM, it's just and then having her lose like her memory, it was just like stuff like that. I don't know, I feel like it's cool to see, but like, again, it was this whole episode, I kept just thinking of like 50 Shades of Grey in like a weird sort of way, and like, it was weird. We don't have to cover too much with this,
I really just the joke just went on for way too long. And you know what? I'm going to stir the pot. We stirred the pot when we talked about the first 3 episodes, because I think we all agreed that they had a very mediocre start. We started to see some glory with episode 4 and 5, and then episode 6 kind of takes another dip. And stirring the pot. Okay. Tech Knight is Huey's hero.
Yes.
He is someone that he looked up to. And this is a serious subject matter where Tech Knight sexually assaults Huey, his hero that he looked up to, sexually assaults him. And that is a serious matter that is weirdly played off as just joking. And that kind of like bugs me, because I just, it's very odd. You know, they have that moment where Huey cries, but it's more about him missing his dad, and it's so brief. He hugs Starlight and he's like, oh, I miss my dad. And then even in episode 7, we never get like a continuation. I would assume something like this would be so traumatic on Huey. And they just kind of play Huey as a victim as a joke, and that rubbed me the wrong way.
It's crazy too, because I didn't even really look at it at first coming off of episode 6, like viewing it that way, especially from Huey's sort of point of view as a character. And it's like you said, like every time you think about that episode, you dislike it a little bit more. It, like, that's not at all like how they should have tackled something like that, especially coming off of how we, like you said, Huey's storyline with his dad. and knowing that he's already in such a vulnerable spot right now, it's weird to just throw him in, of all situations, a situation like that. And like you said, to tackle it in so many different ways. And like you said, it also like playing into episode seven, I don't think, not even just with episode seven, I don't really think Huey ever kind of got a moment to just like say, like, we had the bed moment in episode, what was that, episode four, with the whole episode, the hospital scene. What was that?
Yeah, I believe that was episode five, actually.
Five. Yeah. And so we had like sort of a moment of peace with that, but there's still like a lot of like vulnerability that comes after the fact, you know? And he just kind of was thrown back into it. And a part of himself threw that in, himself into it. But I agree, it's like such a weird way to pick back up with that. And, I don't know. It was just weird. It was definitely a strange thing. There were a few comedic things that I do felt like maybe kind of hit at times. Like, what did you think of like lines like the secret word being Zendaya and stuff?
Yeah.
You know, like,
that was funny. I think for that too, I know we talked about the problem with those first three episodes being how it felt like they were throwing these weird pop culture references.
Yes.
I kind of got that same vibe. Mm-hmm. I will say it was funny. I did laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it kind of feels like a rehash of that early Pete Davidson line that they said in episode one that I was like, what?
Like, why do these celebrities exist in this world?
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere just this year. Is it?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I will say, however, I think the funniest part was at the beginning of the episode. And this was a joke that, like, actually pretty, like, landed with me in a tasteful manner.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they first entered Web Weaver's apartment. And MM... like, dude is, bro, he's getting tortured this entire show. Like all the situations that the writers have put MM through has just been, like, so shit. Like, I feel so bad for him. So, and bro has to, I don't know what drug that Web Weaver's doing, but has to insert it into Web Weaver in a very... disgusting manner. And the visual of that is very funny, very interesting,
very visual.
yes.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. MM's characters have such a weird sort of arc. They've all had weird arcs this season. It's been a weird season for a lot of them, but MM is a character I can appreciate a little bit more. They put him through the ringer a lot for sure, with some weird stuff, but like, he is still playing such, like, I don't know, like a father role, I feel like, throughout all of this, especially with the whole A-Train thing. I don't know if I want to see, like, if we want to just save this for episode seven, because we're still kind of touching on episode six.
We can move on to episode seven if you want.
Yeah, because, like, what is there anything else really?
Not really.
All right, all right.
It's a very empty episode six.
Yeah,
so.
Main overall conclusion, it was a weird episode. Yeah. But yeah, we can transition more into episode seven for sure. And we could use MM as a way to kind of transition into that.
Yeah, go for it.
So there's moments, not even just in episode seven, honestly, episode six even contained this as well. But there are a lot of personal moments with MM and A-Train, which we have not gotten before. And it's coming from a place where he's almost playing again that father role, because I feel like MM has again played that role for all the boys. Like, he's like... trying to, like, control Butcher to a degree, because nobody really wants Butcher. And he's obviously there supporting Annie to a degree, and everybody. So I don't know. I just feel like he really just plays such a role of, like, the father. But to see that one-on-one connection with him and A-Train in episode seven, to the point where it could have that much of a turn on A-Train for him to want to be good and everything. I don't know. I just felt like, yes, MM for sure has been in such weird moments for sure this season, but at the same time, they're doing his character such justice with a lot, you know. I don't know if there was anything else kind of with MM, just as we transition into episode seven.
I liked what they did with his family, you know, touching on his daughter and his ex-wife. That was impactful. I think that, like you said, I feel like each character in this season has been having weird arcs. It's a lot of, like, it almost feels as if the writers are throwing in elements of their arc throughout and then kind of forgetting that they, like, are on their own individual journey, and then we return to it. So it's a lot of gas break. So, but I do really like those moments that he has with his family in this episode. And also, you brought up A-Train, who is, he's peak right now. He's the best part of this season right now. He's just, the speaking of his arc, I feel like the writers are, that's their favorite right now, because he's getting the most, what's the word? Not attention, but just love.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree, yeah.
And now they officially know that he is the insider. And we have that really epic fight scene with the fake noir and the Deep, who also has one of the funniest lines where he's talking to Starlight and he's like, I'm not going to apologize, bro. Yeah. And then he's like, and then he goes, womp womp.
That was spot on. That was spot on. But the Deep for sure is like, just like, what is the Deep? Honestly, but
his character arc, amazing too. He kills the octopus he's been having sex with.
I don't know. The Deep is for sure character art has like kind of to a degree gone off the edge, I feel like. Like with so much. And even like the whole Sister Sage thing, there was a moment with the Deep and Noir, the new Noir, where they kind of find out that they're both having like this they're both sleeping with Sister Sage, basically. And they both kind of shared a similar funny moment where like he was like, oh, she's been doing the thing. I forget what it's called.
Lobotomizing.
Yes. And he was like, lobotomizing? Like, what are you talking about? So, honestly, the Deep as well. The Deep has for sure, I felt like, supported a lot of the the good comedic, I could say, that we've seen. But going back to that fight scene for sure was what we've been waiting for. I feel like for a while now, we've been missing kind of coming off of, especially like the previous seasons where you've had a lot of those group ensemble sort of fight scenes towards the end of the season. This was something that I feel like a lot of us were probably missing. And to kind of see like these characters in action, especially considering a lot of them are like to a degree like almost retired at this point, you know what I'm saying? Like Starlight is like trying to get away from all of that and everything. So to kind of just see it happen like that, and Butcher being able to be there throughout it all, it was what we were missing, I'm sure, as a fan base. Do you feel that?
No, I 100% agree. 100% agree. I felt like episode 5, when they were at the barn, that was like the first time in the season where it felt like, okay, the boys are back together. And then episode 6 happened. But then, you know, coming off of this episode this week, this got that feeling back where I was like, okay, this is the camaraderie that we want. And then even like the after scene where they're talking at the bar, and it's just like a really like great dialogue, and Starlight's asking like, who was Ezekiel, or who was I forget Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character, but he refers to Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character in the scene as like, do what you did to Ezekiel now. And then Starlight asks him, and he's like, why did you say that name? Who are you talking about? And then Butcher's like trying to play it off cool, like he didn't say anything. I love that dialogue between them, and it feels like a group, you know. It feels like that camaraderie is back.
It does And I'm happy that you brought up that specific scene, actually. Just because I don't know, I feel like that scene played so much in showing how much I also am drawing a blank to Jeffrey Dean's character. But it just shows how much he's starting to really take control of Butcher and his body and everything.
Joe Kessler is the name of Jeffrey Dean Morgan's
character. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you for looking at that. Yes. So it really just shows how much Joe then is really taking control of Butcher's body at this point. And we've had, you know, those moments in the previous episodes where it's kind of been like a Moon Knight sort of situation where it's just cut out and everything. But even we're starting to see his character a little bit more too. So I don't know if that's foreshadowing certain things as far as Butcher's fate, as far as the two of them and like this whole thing going on with Butcher with the temp, the permanent effort of what he actually took. But I don't know. It was really cool to see
that dynamic, like you said, in the midst of all of them, but then to also see Butcher going kind of crazy and doing it and seeing all of them come aware of that. I don't know. I feel like they've all, this whole season, have been looking at Butcher with a different eye. And so, I don't know. I feel like, do you think that there could be a fate or something of some sorts as far as Joe Kessler, you know, and the controlling of all of that? I don't know the right way to word this, but just the fate of Butcher. What do you
think? Yeah, so we're already on the last episode that's going to come out this Thursday. So
crazy.
I thought Butcher would die in this season, but I don't think he's going to die next episode. I think they're going to wait till season 5 for him to die. However, Kessler is getting just more and more control. We see in this episode where he's just so dominant on Butcher. Like, Butcher kind of scurries off into a corner when they're investigating that apartment with the shapeshifter.
Yes.
And before they enter the apartment, he scurries off. I think he throws up. And Kessler is, like, just over his shoulder, bombarding him with, like, just insults and being that devil on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every episode, he's just getting more and more there in your face and in Butcher's face as well, to the point where that tumor in his brain that's causing Kessler to be there is going to soon almost be more Kessler than Butcher. So we might have, like, almost Carl Urban taking a Jeffrey Dean Morgan impression and, like, almost like a, you know, Moon Knight's one of them, but almost like a Dr. Jekyll and Hyde type of situation, you know, where, like, yeah, like, I don't know. That's just a theory, but I could just imagine, like, Carl Urban just, like, snapping his face into a different, like, look. And then all of a sudden Butcher's no longer there and it's just Kessler, you know?
Wow. You know, first of all, that is a crazy theory. I love that theory. That would be, I genuinely do see that getting to that point. Cause, like, you know, he's just becoming so much there, you know yeah, like, he's always there. It's a situation where every time we see Butcher at this point, if he's on screen, then we're probably going to see an interaction with Joe Kessler. So I mean, it is for sure foreshadowing a lot. I agree, we probably won't see that in the next episode. I feel like there's a lot that they have to conclude in this next episode, but I do see that being a major point as far as the final season of it all, season 5 and everything.
Do you want to talk about Ryan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because the whole idea of Ryan in this episode, I feel like, showcased a lot of just what he's been burying down.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was anything specific you wanted to start up because you brought it up, but
yeah, for me, Ryan is interesting because we speculated a lot about him. I know even Darian brought up the theory that Ryan was the one that killed Ezekiel, but obviously we got confirmation that that was not true. Ryan wasn't even near any of that business when it was going on. But Ryan has this moment of rebellion, and I find it really beautiful, you know, when he, like, is like, don't cut the cameras, like, and he speaks to the public. And he speaks and he says how much family matters and how much brainwashing Vought is indoctrinating into the public and, you know, these extremists who are following them. However, I'm really interested on Ryan's overall arc because in episode five, we have that moment where Ryan, like, does some evil shit, right? He's like being manipulated by Homelander, and Homelander's like, oh well, and the you know, the director guy, and he's like, well, this director guy's a creep, do you think he deserves to be let, right? And then they're just like beating the shit out of the director, out of a very wrong way of quote-unquote justice, right? So I was under the assumption that that's where Ryan's character arc was going to go to, where he's going to just develop this extremely flawed Homelander-like sense of justice from being this innocent, very sweet kid. But now we're back to, like, the sweet kid. So I'm curious if that was just, like, almost like a red herring. I'm curious if that scene was just thrown in there for us to follow and it kind of be a dead end. Like, oh, what if he could become Homelander Jr.? I'm not sure. I don't. Do you have any theories or?
I also was so like taken back just because of, like you said, that one scene before. It definitely seemed like he was on track to being the Nets Homelander, and yeah, it had me a little worried. But I really liked how they approached his character in this episode. Mm. I do think it was kind of quick of a turn, really quick. Yeah. Like basically what he said, but like, I don't know. I think that it still is playing kind of a major role in showing like he's getting such warped sort of guidance, mm-hmm, and I don't know, like the way that that Homelander and he's being brought up by Vaude and everything, I could definitely see him playing like a role where it's like he's still similar to Homelander, but mm-hmm, where like maybe he is really good and he I don't know, there's still like some bad in him, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I do agree that it could have just been like a red herring sort of situation, mm, that one scene with him, but I don't know, I just feel like the approach that he took with this for sure, mm, was, I'm trying to find the words, it was, I don't know, it was very heroic. That's what I liked with it, but it was so jarring coming off. So it was just, yeah, I don't know. It's I'm kind of in a torn place right now, with Ryan's character, where I could see both things happening. I mean, again, maybe like that is the intent of it. Maybe they are trying to throw us off for something bigger. I still kind of hope that he plays like a good, like a more good role in, mm, the end of maybe even, yeah, like defeating Homelander.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know his character. They're doing a really good job, I guess, then with his character. Mm. If the, you know, so many people are in that boat as far as maybe not knowing, but mm, Ryan's definitely a wild card for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Mm. I think for me, I'm really like that gut feeling is that he's going to be like the main part in taking down Homelander.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just how I feel. Mm. I think that it was more of a red herring than anything, that scene from episode 5. Mm. I don't want to pivot too much, but one thing I want to bring up before we wrap up the episode is the shapeshifter. And what a fucking cool scene,
right,
when they first encounter the shapeshifter and say this disgusting, such gory visual of like her way of shapeshifting is touching someone, mm-hmm, like in like taking their appearance and then just ripping off her skin and flesh until what's underneath is her new appearance that she touched, or you know, the person she touched. Such a cool scene. I do have a critique though with this shapeshifter.
Yes.
Is that, albeit a really interesting wild card, again, another wild card now played into this huge circulation of supers versus the CIA and this whole political thing that's going on. But also I adored it, except for the fact that like Huey gets a wound on his hand. And I just thought it was very stupid that they're chasing after the shapeshifter, who is obviously violent, who is obviously can take appearances. Mm. And they lose her in the street as she just runs about into the crowd of people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, ah, shit, we lost her. And then Huey's like, and then they're like, oh, what are you going to do with that wound? And he's like, oh, I'm going to go to urgent care now, I guess. And then Starlight's, all right, cool. Like, you do you. We're going to go back to the apartment. Mm. And I'm like, what? So you leave Huey alone? Like, you're just going to leave him alone after literally 2 seconds ago you saw a very violent shapeshifter just run about? Like, she could have just been right there 5 feet away, like just hiding, poking behind a wall, and just ready for them to do exactly that and leave Huey alone. Like, yeah. I don't know. That seemed really stupid that they would just be like, ah, darn. All right, get him next time. All right, Huey, you want to just go alone? Ah, fine.
Yeah.
Like, and then I also thought the reveal at the end, although very cool and very interesting for the next episode.
Yes.
It seemed a little abrupt, but it is really cool though. I think that my criticism for that final twist is a bit invalid because they do foreshadow it. You know, she's at the bar and the girl's like, oh, can I get a selfie? Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on that or.
Yeah, no, I definitely did. I didn't really look at it. It's funny that way as far as how quick that break off from the whole thing was.
Yeah.
But it really was. And at that point, I don't even knowing the end and the reveal of it all. I don't know if that's just kind of bad writing just to kind of like enter the scene at that point. Or yeah. Like, what really is the excuse? But I agree. I agree with you in the fact that like they should. That was just as a character, common sense, you know, sort of thing. But that reveal for me was they threw me off. Honestly, I wasn't expecting it. I was rooting for Huey in that moment. I was like, hey, they're finally getting like a nice, like good moment, him and Starlight.
Yeah.
And then it happened. and so no luck for my man Huey. He really just gets no luck this
year. Yeah.
But I don't know, I feel like it is so important for next episode. The shapeshifter alone is, what I love about the boys is they showcase superpowers in such a way that's still so harmful to them. That's something again, that's, I feel like we're going to keep making kind of like connections to Gen V. I don't know if you watched it, you gotta get to it.
I heard Tech Knight was a big part of Gen V.
Yes.
So coming into this, I got a little spoiled, but
okay. Yeah. All right. There is, but similar, in like the event where like she's ripping off her skin and everything, you kind of see a little bit more of that style ability where you have to like hurt yourself,
basically
in order to apply your ability and everything like that. And they really, really touch on that in Gen V to like almost like a how it affects them mentally sort of thing. So definitely for sure get to that. But it's just so cool to see this world and to see how these superpowers are being portrayed, and like something like that is like most people probably wouldn't look at it as like a superpower, but to like rip off your skin like that is just a crazy concept to me in this world of the boys. I think it was needed as far as just again driving that plot. Just because one thing I've noticed with these episodes, it is like there's a plot moving forward with it, but sometimes it's kind of hard to tell for sure what that plot truly is or what we're really getting to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I don't know if that's because storylines are falling through or.
Yeah, this season has been very all over the place.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Very wishy washy.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So, like, I don't know. I definitely think that for sure having it end that abrupt maybe was needed to a degree, just to really kind of catapult us into the season finale. And who knows what they'll really throw at us, the season finale. I know that we're probably going to touch a lot on this whole Homelander president sort of thing. I know that that's been an ongoing thing, which is crazy with the current state of America.
Yeah.
I know they probably have to relook at some things. I honestly... Again, I enjoyed the shapeshifter bit and the reveal and it all, but I still kind of stand true to that statement as far as the overall this season, that plot, just wondering, like, truly what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
I think that this would be my last thought. A-Train is honestly the glue for this season.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of all over the place. Like, we both agree this season has had probably the lowest lows in the entire series thus far, but it's also had some highs.
Yeah.
You know, episode 4, even this episode is pretty solid. But A-Train has been the glue, you know, and now we have the last episode is called Assassination Run. So A-Train's obviously like, he's got a target on his head right now, and I think he's gonna go out hell's blazing and just be like that hoorah for this season. I think he's gonna try to assassinate Homelander. I don't know.
Whoa, that would be bold. That would be crazy. I could see that as far as his character arc with how they've been doing it. Like, he needs just like a heroic moment.
Yeah.
And if it is that, then maybe it might be that. And I know it's sad to see because he has been, like you said, like peak of this whole season.
Yeah.
But like, we might lose Adrian Nett's episode.
Yeah,
he's been a real one. He's been a real one. But yeah, no, I would like to see that. I would like to see him take a stand and maybe standing up to Homelander, just because we've seen how Homelander has affected him.
Yeah,
all the seasons. Yeah. So that would be interesting. That'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
100%.
All right, I guess that's it. I guess those are our thoughts on episode 6 and 7. Thank you guys so much for watching our review and our discussion on those two episodes of The Boys. Please let us know in the comments what your thoughts are on the show and those two episodes. Did you guys feel the same way as far as episode 6, and was it just kind of too weird for you guys? Episode 7, do you guys, same thing. Let us know how you guys felt, you know, especially with certain character arcs. Let us know what you guys think might happen. Any theories or thoughts for the final episode? We love talking with our community about the films and shows that we cover on the channel with you. So be sure to continue any sort of conversation in the comments. Also, please be sure if you could also give this video a like and a subscribe. We are the Culture Wave Media Network, and we cover all things film and television. You could also follow us on social media. We are at Cinema Wave Media and at _ Culture Wave Media on Instagram, as well as at Cinema Wave Media on TikTok and Threads, and Culture Wave on Facebook. Signing off, my name is Mikey Peniston.
And I am Vinny Albano.
Thank you, guys.
This is The Culture.